Yes, absolutely. Man, yeah. The myth, the legend.
Old Kublik, ESPN, SEC, Jocks, Cube Show, Josh Pate, Stan. What? Anything else that off the resume?
Tuesday, date night, podcast. I'm serious.
I can't tell if you like Josh Pate or you hate him.
I got nothing for him. Tuesday, date night, podcast. There it is. Go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. My wife and I are going to do a podcast every week.
What are you guys going to talk about?
Where we go on our Tuesday date night that we started about 2.5 years ago. And honestly, just life, relationship stuff. Maybe some kid stuff, parenting stuff. Like, who knows?
That's cool, man.
It'll be fun, though.
Yeah.
I feel like episode one just dropped, and I feel like we've gotten good feedback so far. So
I tried to get my wife to do one of those murder mysteries. Kind of like this. I thought, hey, she can do all the research.
Like to partake in one?
No. Not just to talk about it. She's one of those that just hits you. Like, did you hear about this or somebody got murdered over here? And I was like, this would
be. I'm going to tell you one right now that you may not want to listen to. I've got it fired up because I just listened to it. I just started yesterday. Devil in the Desert right there. That thing, what happens to the guy in the first episode? Free plug for them. I don't even know who does it, but it's wild.
That's one of our sponsors.
Wild. Yeah.
You'll be about 10 minutes in and say, like, all right, I got to see how this goes.
Where
this
goes. It. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's about a guy who owns a weed shop in California.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can't put their money in banks.
Right.
So a lot of cash floating around in that business.
So is this based off a true story? Or
mm-hmm.
is it? Yeah.
Right. So they interview the girl that was also involved. Like, it's nuts. Just go listen to it.
I would.
Actually, it's only nuts now, but yeah.
This took. You didn't think murder would be talked about today, did you?
I'm trying to see where I can pivot from this. But
when you listen to it, and if you remember that line, honestly, yeah. You'll laugh for about 5 minutes.
How low do we rank on the podcast you least want to do at Media Days every year?
Probably tiers, right? Like 1 to 5, 5 being the lowest.
I'm trying to think if there's one that I would rather do than you guys, because I don't think there is. Seriously.
Paul's told us we're pretty low on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually don't get him toward the end of the week.
Well, Paul also gets, let's be real, Paul gets mostly bullshit questions. So he probably enjoys doing these shows where all it is inflammatory stuff. Like, let's see how scorched earth we can get him to go. Like, they're not asking him to break down A&M's offensive line. So he probably does enjoy it. And he knows you guys are just filled with stupidity, so why would he enjoy coming up here with you guys? I enjoy the stupidity, actually. So I'm all for it.
Last time I saw you, it was in Columbia.
That's right. And you were there.
Yeah. What would that be? Well,
he walks to the front row. He's texting me, and I was like, I'm going to come say hey. And the people don't understand about Mizzou. It's so weird. Like, they have a track around the field, and then they have this grass embankment. And so he walks down the stairs, which, you know, it's the easiest spot because he takes up the whole aisle. So so I was like, I'm going to come up there and say, hey. So I walk up the grass embankment, and, I mean, it's anywhere you go. Like, I mean, he even gets close. He's like, no, sir. No, 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 sir. I'm like, no one's storming the field here, guy. He damn sure ain't storming the field.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he can get to it. Like, calm down. We're just saying hello to one another. It's okay. Like, wow.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Oh, I'm surprised, man. I didn't get tased.
You may have made it to the field then. Rolled down that embankment.
I was not getting down there because it's pretty steep from
the
stairs.
Yeah. I was a little nervous walking up there. I was like, man, if I fall, it's in front of all these people right here. It's like a competitive game. That's not going to be a good look.
As soon as I get 40, I judge grassy knolls. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that. And if I do stairs sometimes, it's sometimes a double step now.
The deceleration is what begins to really scare you when you get older. Like, my kids will go full speed down like a concrete hill, like run. I'm like, oh, no. It doesn't bother them. But, like, we know we have to slow down at some point, and that's a really scary thought. Like, if I stumble.
The out-of-control run is
all
never
the way
good.
Down. Yes, absolutely. It's a little different deal.
Have you had a more random person than Cousin Shane? You know, run into you like that at a game?
Well, I try not to give too many randoms my cell phone so where they can text me during a game and ask me to come speak to them.
We'll tweet it out.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I get a lot of folks yelling at me in the stand. Not a lot. That's actually sounded really bad. It's not. It's an occasional one or two. But depending on where it is, it's either friendly or unfriendly. Like, there's one stadium in the league that I still have things thrown at me on a regular occasion. But that's okay. It's fine.
Did you see when they plastered him on the video board?
I did. That's what made me know he was there.
Speaking of plastered, buddy, I was pretty plastered by the time
I didn't feel like you were in that bad of shape. That's how I knew he was there, because they put him up there, and I was like, what? And so I texted him, like, where are you? I'll come say hello.
Yeah,
was there a genuine pop in the stadium when that happened?
No, they didn't even know who I was.
You told me
I don't think it was during the game, was it? Was it before the game?
No, it was in a quarter, like between commercial break type deal, third quarter.
Yeah, it was a little down when they did it, so yeah.
Well, they asked where I was prior to, and they said, hey, what section you're going to be in? I was expecting the video, and then they found a better picture, I guess, and I was like, where am I going to put his ass on there?
That game was insane, by the way.
Oh, dude, I can imagine. You had the perfect spot for it,
too. Yeah, that's a game that, like, no one will talk about at this event that probably should be. The amount of just stupid things that happened in that game, that was fun.
Absolutely. It was one of the wildest games. And there were several Mizzou fans in front that left after OU scored. And then I was like, oh, dang, they missed a good one, you know?
I mean, we had, like, two pick sixes on both sides and then, like, a weird – three and out that shouldn't have happened to give the opportunity for another team to score. Like, that was just – I can't remember all the details, but that was bonkers.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Tennessee-Arkansas stumble. It's like that couldn't happen any better, you know, and it felt like that was kind of – it was gift wrap for Mizzou.
Missouri was dead like four times in that game. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe. Like a wild kick, they're back in it. Pick six, they're back in it. Wow, okay. Oh, no, pick six, they're not back in it. Oh, no, the onside kick, whatever it was. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was an awesome game.
How hard is that to work a game like that when it does suck for three quarters? Because I remember – I'm trying to think of the game, but I think it was like I just know it had something to do with Lane Kiffin. It was like Arkansas Ole Miss. I remember a lot of people got mad at you because you. I don't remember the context, but I think the score was like 60-10.
Oh, the game in which I enraged the fans.
They were mad
that I didn't say anything to enrage the fans, but other people on the broadcast did, and they thought that I did.
Yeah.
I think it was about 784 yards of offense by one team.
I mean, they'll do it right.
that's got to be impossible to make that entertaining, though.
Yeah, 42-6 when you're giving up 700. I mean, I don't know where you want us to go with that, but sure. I mean, I guess, you know, next time we'll just break down the left guard and left tackle's double team for a 2-yard loss. See how that went.
And I remember another one. I think it was Brandon Walker was mad at you because you were eating like a blooming onion or something, and he missed a punt.
That was a bowl game. He was probably mad that Ole Miss was even in that game. People get mad when I eat during games. McElroy gets mad.
Why?
He's like, you're eating a donut burger on the sideline? Like, be a grown-up. They offered me a donut burger from the fair that was across the street. Am I going to turn that down?
Exactly.
No. I got to see how that tastes. By the way, it was good. I would have never asked for that. But after having it, yeah, it was delightful. It knocks out everything. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert. Like, you get it all in one bite. It's pretty good.
I don't know if you could tell. We like to eat.
The Blooming Onion thing was a bowl game sponsored by Outback.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, it was COVID. I was in the stands doing the game. What did y'all want me to do? Like,
I don't remember
yell
that.
Yell at Lane from the – hey, coach! Like, hey! He was 13 yards away from me at best at any point in that game.
Did they still have the card? Didn't they have cardboard cutouts at one point? Remember that? I remember they were charging people. You could put your face on it so you could be in the stands. You remember how stupid that was?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was Truist that was doing that.
Pumping noise in there.
The team that's not in Atlanta that claims to be in Atlanta.
But I was going to ask, when you go, is there anywhere around the SEC where, like, you're going to Oxford or you're going to Starkville, wherever it is, where you're like, God, I'm looking forward to a meal somewhere. Is there a top tier for you anywhere around the conference?
I could probably give you a place everywhere we go. Like Oxford for sure. John Currence's restaurants, like Big Bad Breakfast, City Grocery, always amazing. We have to go to Tony's in Lexington. Jeff Ruby's in Lexington is great too. I'll get in trouble if I don't say that. But Tony's is our spot. They have this sweet potato dish that is like,
keep going.
It's not mashed sweet potatoes. It's whipped sweet potatoes. So it's like on the brink of being creamy, but it's not.
Yeah.
And they put a mushroom brick I'm not mushroom, marshmallow brick in that thing. I mean, it is, it's at least that big, and it just melts. So then it's like the sweet potato and the melted marshmallow are together. They put a bunch of bourbon in it, and it's like, I could even do without that, but it's just, I'm like, you're ruining the sweet. I don't need that. But, oh, man, I have to have it when I go in there. And I'm not sharing it. That one's mine. So you get that and a steak, and you're good. You don't need, I think their Brussels are really good, too, but you don't even need that. So, yeah. Acre and Auburn, fried bacon appetizer?
Yeah.
Need I say more?
No.
I ate that on the sideline during COVID, too. People got mad at that. I just don't understand.
What'd you eat this morning?
Where are we going now?
I have not eaten this morning. I would eat on your show right now. Somebody gave me something to eat. I don't have anything. I have not eaten. I usually don't eat breakfast.
Well, you do games here. Yeah, SEC championships and all that. Mm-hmm. Is there a spot around here that you'd recommend?
Well, fortunately for me, I live in Birmingham, so the Atlanta games are usually in and out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a ton of places to eat here. I haven't been out here in a long time, so I don't even – and even if I had, I wouldn't remember the names because it's somewhere different every time, you know. And usually – at events like this, it's other people tell me where we're going and what time. And I'm like, cool, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Like Dragonfly Sushi in Gainesville. I mean, I could eat my weight in sushi in that place. It is unbelievable.
What about Knoxville?
Knoxville. Okay, so there's a place. I believe it's downtown. It's like this new sort of like upscale, wannabe, old Western vibe steakhouse place. Like they serve snake.
Yeah. I've been there. Oh, shit.
Super fancy.
Yeah.
Like very uppity, but try not to be uppity.
Yeah.
But the food was fantastic.
Yeah. Went there.
The vibe.
They let you in?
The vibe a little confusing. Kind of like.
Had to go upstairs.
We're not uppity, but
real
nothing
fancy
cost
drinks.
Less than $49.
The old fashions with the smoke and everything. They went
all out. They had the big glass box.
Yeah.
Look at this magic trick. And I'm sure the people drink like, just
lonesome,
keep me my damn
lonesome
drink.
Lonesome Dove.
Is that it?
I think. I don't know.
That actually sounds right. That sounds right. Yeah.
Man, I'm starving. Yeah. What do you do to stay in shape?
Walk.
Like after eating all this?
Walk and count calories.
Yeah.
I usually do steps. I had a run. I do intermittent fasting. Yeah, I don't eat in the mornings. I had a run going into last football season where I think I did 20,000 steps like 4 straight months every day.
Wow.
And that included a trip to Disney where we hit 30 like 3 times. Yeah, it was. I had like 36,000 steps one day at Disney. It was insane.
I was always fascinated by like guys like you or Pollock, these guys that were just massive individuals in college and pro, and then as soon as they're out, they cut that weight.
Yeah.
Did you
definitely not as soon as I got out. I went the other way as soon as I got out. So when I got done at Auburn, I had surgery after my last game the day after, and then my body was pretty beat up. I kind of knew I was done. I tried NFL, whatnot, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. So my scholarship was on through the summer.
Yeah.
And so you want to enroll. This is totally, these kids would not even care about this now. But you wanted to enroll in those classes to get your scholarship check, which at the time was like $1,650 a semester or quarter, whatever it was. So I was like, I have my lease through the summer. I enrolled in golf too. It was literally what I took. But I got my scholarship check. I don't even think I went one time. And so we were really good at drinking beer and eating pizza that summer. Like really good at that. So I think I left Auburn at like 325 and then may have gotten over 330. And then a guy who I knew that played offensive line at Alabama, his name was Griff Redmill, I saw him in the gym in Huntsville where I moved to work, and he was like 250. I was like, okay, I need this secret. And he was like, only protein, a lot of cardio. And I was like, cardio, I can't. And he's like, just start on the treadmill and walk, and then get to where you can jog for like 5 minutes and then walk for 10.
Yeah.
Jog for 5, walk for 10. Then jog for 8, walk for 10. And so I did that. I got to where I was like running for 45 minutes. Just looking back, probably not a great idea for the joints. But got the weight off.
Yeah.
And now it's just like consistently finding ways to not want to eat more, which is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I could gain 15 pounds this week if I wanted to. Easy.
Did the plans change? I know they have, obviously, with science and technology and everything. But when you were there, you know, the meal plan type setup, as opposed to now, just the science approach. Like, it's almost like a science lab sometimes with these.
It's insane now what they do. I mean, these kids are the GPS stuff that they have that'll tell the coaches, you know, physically how much contact they've had, how much they have exerted in practice and workouts. So they'll take one guy and say, you're sitting out 2 periods today.
Yeah.
because they've exerted too much force and done too much. They track their mileage. So I've had multiple coaches tell me that a certain receiver, when he hits a certain mileage in a week, they'll back him down. Or if he goes over a certain mileage in a game, they'll back him down. Like, I remember when Elijah Moore was at Ole Miss, they were telling us how many miles he would run in a game. It was obscene because he did all the motion stuff and then played like every snap. So they had to they'll back those guys off. And then, yeah, the nutrition stuff now is just totally different than it was. Like, they gave us a scoop of creatine and like this little go drink that was in a juice box. And they're like, go do that and then eat a lot. But see, I wasn't like Pollock where I had to eat to get weight on.
Right.
I was always like trying to keep it off.
Yeah.
Like Pollock should be what he walks around at now, you know, and he probably beefed up to play D-line.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to try hard to do that.
That's interesting because he does the same thing. He shares his exercise information with me, and I just have to slow his ass down constantly.
Yeah, movering gets a little wild. I've been golfing. I'm down 74 pounds.
No, he told me on Fun Mom Show the other day.
Yeah, golfing is – I know you didn't go to class, but it was –
I took golf one.
Did you?
Not two. Yeah.
Have you improved that game at all?
No, I can't play golf because my back. My back's a mess. So I can't even. That's another reason I'm trying to lose weight is I want to be just as light as I can to take as much pressure off that because it's gross right now. It's in bad shape. But it is what it is.
Do you really believe Mark Stoops doing a hell of a job like you tried to pitch me the other day?
How motivated is he?
That I can't answer because I don't have those personal conversations with him. But I imagine anybody making that kind of money doesn't want to just lose it.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting that people would say, okay, if a guy that has done what he's done has a, or even if some people consider last year a bad year, another bad year that we're just going to run him. When if you go back and look at the first 3 years, year two, year three, a lot of people wanted him gone. They tried to fire him, and look what he ended up doing. So I just think the expectations are different at different places, and that's one of the cool things about what he's done is the expectation there is different now. I mean, we need to win 9 games, be in a really good bowl, and maybe like start climbing towards competing for an SEC championship. They were hoping to win 6 before he got there, and not a lot of guys were doing it. So, you know, when you have multiple things, it's like laying at Ole Miss right now. When you have multiple things on your resume that one or two coaches have ever done at your school, like – back the F off for a minute. Like, let's be real and let's have an understanding that there probably needs to be a little bit of grace with how this program is being run. You want to have those conversations at Alabama, Georgia, whatever. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, Florida, okay, I understand. Like, it's what it is. But, yeah, not there. I mean, I think you understand. You have to take a step back every now and then, look in the mirror. Like, self-evaluation is critical. Like, you are that in basketball, which is great. You are not that in football. And it's cool to want it and to keep trying to build towards it. But because a guy has, you know, some injuries and some transfers and recruiting may not go the right way and all of a sudden he's not doing exactly what he did 4 years ago, you don't just automatically say you're out. So that's my opinion on it.
And how hard is it to set expectations?
But I understand you're trying to be the next Feinbaum and you want to fire everybody, and that's cool. Like, that's
I'm trying to get these guys paid. I mean, sorry. For
They're paid now.
I know, but
By the way, they
get paid a lot when they get fired.
We asked on my show this morning. I wasn't sure. I was like, because Jimbo came up in his money.
Huh?
And I was like, you know what we never saw? We never saw, like, how this is going to be paid out.
Right.
Like, usually it's like, Gus Malzahn will get $236,000 a month on the 15th of the month for the next 18 years. So a friend of mine knows, and he texted me and told me. So 77.6 buyout, 19.4, 25% lump sum within 60 days of termination. So the termination was that was by January 11th, 2024. The remaining 58.2 paid out annually in installments through 2031.
Every August 4th. No, I'm joking.
And that's what? Probably somewhere like 7.5? So he got 19.4 today. And then once a month until 2031, he's going to get between 7 and 9 million. I think I'd be all right. I think I could.
Yeah, exactly.
What is he doing?
I could make it. Who cares?
He's living on a ranch.
Yeah. He wants to. Ranch is plural.
Ranches.
He wants to do media. He does like some guest spots on SiriusXM, and I'm like, Coach, no, you don't.
Maybe we can get him on here.
No, you don't. If you could get in touch with him, he'd probably do it.
I don't think he would.
I think he would.
I got to ask you a lineman question before you get out of here. If you were to tell me, because your name got brought up earlier when we're talking about potentially some of the best defensive line units in the country. If you're looking at this conference, who do you think has the best defensive line as a unit, and who are you worried about the most?
Oklahoma's the best.
Yeah.
I think they're the deepest inside. They have versatility. They have quick, speedy, twitchy edge rushers. Now, that doesn't mean – when you say that, that doesn't mean that every guy they have is a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. But I think the depth inside – it's like when we were here a year ago, and I was talking about South Carolina, and everybody's like, they don't have top five D-line in the league. I was like, well, they got three, maybe four proven D-tackles that have been B-plus in this league for multiple years. Like, I'll take that. And so would Georgia, and so would Bama. And they don't have it right now. Yeah. LSU sure as hell didn't have that last year at this time. Oklahoma's got that inside right now. And our Mason Thomas off the edge can get it. Like, that. It's. I think it's easily Oklahoma right now. Mm-hmm. Who am I worried about from a D-line perspective? Probably Mississippi State would be one. Kentucky might be another. Because if we're Kentucky, and they actually have a couple guys back, but the guys they have back just consistently have not done what they can do.
Any surprise teams, though? Like maybe somebody, let's say top tier, top half projecting, and you're looking at that defensive line, you're saying, hey, this could be a problem. If
on the good side or bad side?
On the good side.
Tennessee.
No, I'm on the bad side. I apologize. Oh.
Well, yeah. Tennessee's one that people don't talk enough about. I think everybody thinks that, you know, your speed rusher left, so you're not going to be good. They still got guys.
Yeah.
They just don't have three waves like last year, but they still have one good wave and like a half of another really good wave. Florida's going to be fine with Banks. I think they're in good shape. I mean, I'll say this about LSU. Like, they're still not LSU. And I think we could probably say that about the big three. Like, I'll call them, you know, Georgia, Alabama, LSU.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of our problem is – and. How can we not compare it to what they've had? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's telling me that LSU's fine at running back. Well, five-star coming in. Well, I hadn't seen him play college football, so I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, but, like, I know what LSU looked like at running back a lot of times in the last 20 years has been really good, and I don't think it's going to be that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Georgia's D-line is super scary. Bama's is not super scary. Now, Texas has the best pair of edge guys maybe in the nation. Moore, Colin Simmons, whew. That's a great place to start. Like, that'll solve a lot of your problems right there. And then you put Hill behind them, is maybe the best off-the-ball linebacker in the nation. They'll be all right. And see, everybody said that about Texas last year. They're like, well, you're losing these two, you know, Tavondre Sweat's gone and Byron Murphy's gone, so y'all are going to be terrible inside. And they figured it out and made it work. So I'm not worried about Texas just because they're so good on the edges.
Yeah.
All right, Cole, last thing. All our SEC media coverage is brought to you by MyBookie this year, so a shout out to our sponsor. We're looking for a bold take, and I know you're not a bold taker, so this could be a cold take. You got any kind of cold take, bold take, whatever you want to call it, for anybody in the SEC?
So let's think about my biggest question this week is middle of the pack, who separates and who goes backwards. I think the harder question is who goes backwards. Because, like, Vandy's not going backwards. The whole defense is back. They have maybe the most underrated running back in the league. Pavia's back. You added some good pieces on that offensive line. I don't think Florida goes backwards. I don't think Oklahoma's going backwards, which they weren't great last year anyway, but they're not going to go backwards. Everybody thinks South Carolina's going backwards, and this will be my cold take. Sorry, my bookie. I'm making this up on my own. Where do you guys think South Carolina's defense will rank at the end of the year, like in the league?
Probably middle tier.
Bottom half?
Yeah.
I think they'll have a top seven defense in the league this year.
So that
– one, I think Clayton White's that good, and nobody knows who he is. Similar to like Brad White at Kentucky. But if you – I know what they lost, and it's a lot. But they have multiple D linemen back that have been in that system. They have multiple DBs back that have been in that system. Like, they have a lot of guys that have played a lot of snaps in that defense. Demetrius Knight was awesome last year. Hemingway, Sanders, those guys inside were great. Kennard was great. Here's the other part, and think about this for a while because you'll want to bring it back up later. Shane has done more with less through the portal than any coach in this league. Who was talking about Kyle Kennard this time last year?
Not anyone I know.
Nobody.
No.
Joshua Simon, you could make an argument that Joshua Simon, the tight end at South Carolina last year, was the damn MVP of the team. because he made big catches at big moments almost every week, and he blocked his rear end off. Now, he wasn't the MVP, but I'm saying, like, you could put him in that discussion, and some people in Columbia would be like, yeah, probably. Nobody talking about Mario Anderson at running back a couple years ago. It was like a D3 guy. Nick Gargiulo, they went to the Ivy League and got him. He started almost every game at center, like was a good player. Demetrius Knight, linebacker, just got drafted from Charlotte. I didn't know who the hell he was last year. So, like, there's going to be two or three guys for South Carolina that are transferring in that none of us are talking about. And at the end of the year, we'll be like, that guy's a pretty damn good football player. He does it every year. Yeah. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know where he gets them. I don't know how he scouts them different from everybody else. But, like, it just works. Yeah. So, I think they'll have a couple of those guys on defense. They got a big D tackle that's here today that redshirted that didn't play last year. He was kind of dinged up and then saw the other guys that were there. I think he'll help. I mean, you got to go get a linebacker that signed with Bama and transferred to Florida State. Like, he's got the ability. So you just got to get him right. And he could end up being great, Murphy. So I think he's another one.
You said it's struggling to see who's stepping back, though. I would give you two candidates. I'm just curious what you think about this. Ole Miss and Tennessee. And, again, I agree with everything you said.
Tennessee will go backwards.
Yeah, just because, I mean, hell, they made the playoff.
But here's the thing. This is what frustrates me about SEC fans. So the whole Nico thing goes down, right? And everybody applauds it, which was I did too. It was the right thing to do. But if you're going to applaud that as a Tennessee fan and you're going to sit there and say, yes, don't take it anymore. Put your foot down. Show them who's boss. You also have to be willing to say, we might win 8 games this year. Just because the next guy is not going to be as physically capable as that young man was. Bottom line. And, yes, he made some poor decisions, and he had some bad reads last year. But if we're talking physical tools, like Joey Aguilar is on Neptune compared to Nico being on Earth last year. And I think Joey Aguilar is a tough little quarterback. Like, he's a good, he's a scrappy kid. Like, he's got a decent arm. I don't know the fit in that system, what it'll look like. And the offensive line is not good. There's another one. There's 5-star so-and-so coming in, 4-star this guy coming in. Great. That's great for 2 years from now. But not right now. That offensive line, and that offensive line went downhill towards the end of the year, but they played pretty good most of the year last year. And then, like, I'll give Austin Price credit for this. Like, I asked him about Dylan Sampson on the show the other day, and he rattled off all the running backs that have been good under Josh Heupel. And I was like, you know what? You got a point there. I may be overstating Dylan Sampson's importance, but I saw how Dylan Sampson pressed the line of scrimmage and rode his blocks and made guys right a lot of times that where not a lot of backs do that. Mm-hmm. So I think he was really good. But and when I say go backwards, I don't think they're winning 4 games. I just don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. So yeah, that's a good one. Ole Miss is interesting. The defensive front will not be close to the same. That's when I should have said when you asked that question is I should have said Ole Miss's D-line is concerning. Because it's just flat out, number one, baseline talent ability ceiling, not even close to last year. You have a whole new secondary, which they may end up being better. And Pete has shown you, like Trey Amos last year, he brings him in, like he made him good in his system. I think DBs, he'll be fine. But Greg loves Austin Simmons. I think he's got a chance. The receivers, it's a bunch of new guys, but they're bringing in some guys that can play. Running back has been a weird commodity for like 3 years now. But if Logan Diggs is healthy, that dude can bang, man. Like Logan Diggs can play. I remember asking Denbrock a couple years ago, we had the LSU Florida game, the one that won Jaden the Heisman. And we were sitting there meeting with him, and I was like, Mike, seriously, this Diggs kid gets the ball like 3 times a game, and all he does is hammer people. Like, do you sit back sometimes and say, like, I need to force feed him the ball at times? And he sat back and he said, you know what? You're right. Because I had him at Notre Dame and I got him. Like, he is really good. He's like, but then I look out there and I see 8. And then I look over there and I see 13. And then I see what my quarterback can do. And I'm like, yeah, we don't need to give him the ball. and he was right, actually, in that instance. So Ole Miss is an interesting one because I put him in that middle of the pack of I could see him winning 10. I could see him winning 7.
Yeah.
But I don't think the offensive line I don't think is going to be great, and they'll sit there and tell you it was great last year, not the people in the facility, the people in the stands. I mean, literally, we're talking about this team at the end of the year, the Florida game. Jackson Dart sucks. He's getting annihilated every time he drops back.
Yeah,
like every throw, he's getting driven into the dirt on a regular. And I'm like, how do y'all think he's good? Is that group is good in front of him? I love Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart's awesome. But, like, he was getting pummeled on almost every snap with no time to drop and operate in the pocket. So the offensive line would be a big concern. But here's what I think about Austin Simmons. Whether he's super talented, great or not, ask yourself this honestly. When was the last time we went into a season and we were worried about quarterback with Lane? Because the answer is never.
Never. No.
It doesn't matter. Was like Matt Corral going to have to be the guy? Oh, okay, we got this kid transferring in. Like, oh, Alabama's putting a running back at quarterback. He only goes and throws for like 3,500 yards. I mean, Lane will figure quarterback out.
Right.
Like, seriously, that is not a concern for me. Now, if he gets knocked out of the game, that might be a little bit of a different deal.
Right.
Great point on the Ole Miss D-line. I should have said that. Now I know the rest of the week, if somebody says whose D-line is concerning, Ole Miss is the answer. And yes, Tennessee will go backwards, but just not like – I guess when I say go backwards, I mean – from the middle of the SEC pack that I look at right now and be behind that group. Mm-hmm. So if we have the frontline teams, let's say it ends up being Texas, Georgia, Bama, LSU, and they're all in contention for the playoff, and those are the teams we look at and say they're really good. Mm-hmm. And then we have South Carolina, Bama, Ole Miss, or South Carolina, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, whoever, who's going to be behind that group? Because, like, Vanderbilt's in that group right now. Oklahoma's in that group right now. Who's going to be in the back of behind that group?
Yeah.
And like you said, maybe it's Kentucky. Maybe it's Ole Miss. I don't know. Maybe it does end up being Vanderbilt. I just don't think it will be.
I don't know
who it's going to be right now. Mississippi State is there now. Yes, they are. But can they go backwards from where they were last year? Probably not. I don't think so.
And I could even be convinced that Alabama or LSU falls back in that middle pack that you're talking about.
I can convince you that all of them will. I mean, Texas lost a lot up front. And if all of a sudden Arch has to run for his life a little bit, because, like, Arch has also shown you he's not going to protect himself. Like, he told us personally, he's like, my granddad calls me every week. We talk once a week. And I said, well, what do you guys talk about? He's like, first thing he says is run your ass out of bounds. He's like, stop trying to do what I did. He's like, I can barely walk today because of it. Like, get out of bounds or slide, one or the other. And, I mean, the weapons are going to be really good. Sark's really good. I'm interested to see tight end for them. Interested to see offensive line. But they're talented. They're going to be really good. Like, Georgia, I think, is going to be really good. But, like, I could see them not being where two of the other teams were. I mean, if Gunner doesn't work out and the offensive line doesn't do what I think it can do, the defense is maybe just a little bit more normal.
Isn't it weird, though, that Georgia was 15th in the SEC in rushing? I didn't think I'd ever see that. And I know, you know, there's factors. Carson Beck, relying on him. But
also the way a couple games went, I think, like, you had to kind of air it out a few times.
That still is weird to me. It just feels wrong.
Like, but you look at, like, when were they their best? And it's when they wanted to be gritty, like, they were their best. And I don't think Kirby's ever going to get away from that. Like, look at that Texas. When I watched that Texas game last year, the first one, I came away from that game thinking it really felt like Georgia went into this game and said, like, when it comes down to being – just rugged, like, who's more rugged? That's who's going to win this game. And, like, Texas didn't want it. They were not more rugged that day.
Yeah.
And when Georgia is that, I don't think anybody can beat them. Because they're faster, bigger, stronger. So it's like, what are you going to do? When they're kicking your teeth in, across the board, there's just not much mean people can do about it.
Anything else, Shane? I feel like we kept them way too long.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
No, if y'all keep me longer, I get to get out of other interviews. So that's actually good. So that's a positive.
What other murder mysteries are you listening to then?
I don't really. My wife does it, and she tells me about it. So I thought it'd be perfect.
There's one that – hold on. I got two that you need to listen to.
We'll need something to listen on the drive back.
What happened to Talina Czar? That's a weird name. I get it. Talina Czar, this thing's friggin' wild. There's a lady in this that you're going to be like, okay. And then what happened to Holly Bobo?
Now that one I've
you've heard of that, you heard of that one?
Yeah. She's all about the...
That's one where there's dudes that are convicted that are now coming back saying, didn't do it. Here's the guys that did. And
she
they're
was
walking
talking
around.
About the one the guy snuck in. Remember that one? The one that just admitted he did it, and so they found him guilty. But part of the paperwork was he didn't, like, say why he did it. Or you remember that one?
That sounds similar to that.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
And then there's one where they did a, I can't remember what this one was called, that they ended up doing a Dateline on it. I listened to the podcast first, mm-hmm. where they go in and kidnap this guy and this girl, and they put a camera in the room, and they tie her up, and they're like, we have a camera on you. If you leave in the next however long, we will see it, and, like, we'll kill him. We've got him.
Yeah.
So she stays, and no one hears from either one of them, and then she shows up. It's out in California, and she shows up at, like, a town an hour south, like, 4 days later. And she was dropped off. Here's the best part. You can find this one. I can't remember what it's called. They got clips of the mayor of the city who's doing a press conference and, like, calling them out for wasting government resources.
Oh, saying it was all fake?
And then it was legit. Oh. Like, somebody came in there and got them.
Jeez.
And I'm like, boy, I'd be at that dude's office that next
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. Put me out there like that.
Here is my attorney's lawsuit. Get your ass ready to pay. Thank you.
So what's the name of that new show? You and your wife's?
Tuesday Date Night. Go subscribe. Even if you're never going to listen, just go subscribe. It's going to be fun. Like, my wife is incredible. I mean, think about this, guys. I am gone between 16 and 20 consecutive weekends in the fall. Mm-hmm. And I leave on Thursday, and I come home Monday night because I got to go to Charlotte on Sunday and get ready to do the Monday show. And then I do my radio show from my hotel, and then I go over there. We record the Monday show, and then I fly home Monday night. And we have three children. They are now 10, 8, 5. Oof. And she does that every weekend by herself. And she's awesome at it. And we don't, like, not do things or not be in activities. Like, she takes them to their flag football games. She takes them to their baseball games. Takes them to their singing stuff. Like, all of it. And then I do it again for, like, 8 or 10 straight weeks in the spring when I'm doing UFL.
Yeah.
So, and then you got media days and you got other things in the studio. I got to go. I mean, like, she's unbelievable. She really is.
You got to have a good support staff, that's for sure.
It's past support.
Yeah.
It's like due for.
Yeah.
I haven't done an expense report in like 10 years. I have no idea how much money is our bank account right now. Like, I'm telling you, I don't know. I couldn't even guess.
Just get an allowance each week.
Like, checking, savings. I have a credit card. And if it gets out of hand, she tells me. She's like, hey, slow down. Okay, cool. But she's awesome. She really is. So we got like. But I think the genesis of it was that's the only time we get to have, like, real conversations. And I try not to make it about my job, and I try not to make it about football. Like, she said this in the first episode. She's like, the funny thing is, she's like, I talk to all these people, and they think I know all this stuff about football. She's like, that's the last thing I want to talk to you about. Cole and I don't talk about football. And so we have real conversations, and some of them are super entertaining and really fun. She's like, well, you should do a podcast about this. And she was on me, and finally I was like, she must really want to do this. So we figured it out, and here we go.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. And we'll talk some parenting stuff and, like, schedule stuff and, like, things that come up with us and how we kind of get through it and manage it. But, yeah, it's fun. She's incredible. She really is.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Who do y'all think wins the league?
Bama.
Of course. Playing to the
– Georgia.
Pretty bold takes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Way to step
I'll
out
just
there,
pick
guys.
Out the SEC champion for last year.
I haven't thought about this because we're gonna have to make our picks at some point. Here's the thing: we sit there and say diagnose these schedules, but, like, nobody has a schedule where they're gonna be undefeated. Mm-mm. I don't think.
Yeah, I think Georgia, Texas, and Bama. I think they're
I guess what I'm saying is I don't think you could take a South Carolina or a Florida or, like, one of these maybe teams, an Oklahoma. And say, well, it's not like Missouri or Ole Miss last year where we saw those schedules and we were like, they should be in the playoff.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. And then we had the questions of, well, if they're 9-3, are they definitively in? And it ended up being a relevant question because it's like, no, there's other leagues going to look at that schedule and say, now, if Georgia was or LSU was, like, yeah, y'all are in.
Yeah.
But South Carolina's 9-3, like, probably, but not against those schedules. I don't think any of the schedules are that different this year where I would elevate them because of their schedule. So it's just, I don't.
Out of that mix, yeah. But I mean, there's some teams that have easier roads.
There's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Tennessee and Mizzou. Missouri's catching
is still a little bit light. Yeah. So I agree
six
with
home
that.
Games, and again, one of them's Alabama.
But here's what's weird about this year. What has been the determining factor of choosing an SEC champion or national champion almost every other year we've done this. Like, if there was one thing where you would say, well, they got that, so I think they're going to win it.
Usually quarterback.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about it. And, like, all of these teams have legitimate questions at quarterback, and we're just – why this year are we just bypassing it?
Yeah.
Because if this was other years, we'd be like, LSU.
Yeah.
Like, so they got the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done it. He's that good. He's that talented. He's got weapons. Like, he's the dude. Like, it's LSU. Like, LSU is going to win it. And this year, it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
Texas. That kid's all started, what, one or two games? Georgia. He started, like, two games. But we're just not worried about it. Ty Simpson.
South Carolina, then.
There you go. I mean, Florida.
Well, I just
it's just interesting that every other year it's been like quarterback, 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 quarterback. And now we're kind of like, well, it's not that big a deal. You know?
Yeah.
Do we just think all the quarterbacks are that good, that young?
No, I think it's just everything's so different with roster continuity, with, you know, just turnover, you know, new schedules, unbalanced schedules. There's just so much newness. I think it's impossible to predict, and we're kind of overlooking the things that we used to know. Like someone does it. I think I was doing Texags, and they were asking me, you know, how often does a Texas, and I can't remember who the other one was, but I think it was LSU, where like the offensive line is like a somewhat of a question mark. Usually we don't overlook that, but and I referenced you, and I said, well, I've been listening to Cole. He's so smart on offensive line. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but there's like an epidemic of poor offensive line play.
Yeah,
not just
to an extent
in college football, but even I've heard even NFL people complain about it. So I don't know if that again offensive line. I told them I'd much rather be A&M with all their guys back, but I don't know if that's a detriment that it was in years past.
What would we be saying about A&M right now if they had Lagway or Sellers?
I think they'd probably be a very popular like spoiler to win the SEC.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean it's interesting.
But like, I think people would be wrong because they'd be overlooking the defense, which is the defense is what killed them last year. And I think there's faith, at least personally, in Mike Ilko.
Oh no, the defense is not going to be bad.
But they were bad.
But
at
it's
times
like,
are you going to be
dominant? Yeah, and they did that to themselves. Mm-hmm. I think instead of just letting their playmakers play, they tried to create things a little bit too often. It's kind of like you don't have to do all this stuff.
Yeah,
like just let Nick Gordon and Shamar Stewart and Shamar Turner just eat and you'll be fine. And they didn't do that. So
Auburn jumped on them.
Yeah,
they quit running the ball against Auburn. And that was atrocious play.
LSU game.
They couldn't get Sellers on the ground. They should have had like 8 sacks that game. But he's
that
so
wasn't
incredible.
Just them though. I mean that was multiple teams couldn't get him to the ground.
Yeah, we asked his teammate here how hard it is to get him on the. He had confidence he could take him down.
Here's something that might give you a little more confidence in South Carolina. Not that I'm trying to push them on anybody, but when we visited with Clayton White last year, he said, I don't have this written down. He said, but I'm pretty positive that I would put money up against this. They didn't score a touchdown in live action against us in the spring or all fall, their own offense. The offense ended up being pretty good.
Yeah.
So if the defense is close – and they take that step that we're kind of thinking of, and like no one thought they were, they didn't, their own people didn't think they were going to be decent last year, and now they,
yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I think this is the year that a team like that does it. Florida, South Carolina, you know, Oklahoma, Auburn. I kind of feel like I can't say Auburn because everybody's going to get mad when I say that, but like it's not impossible. A lot has to go their way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that offensive line's got to be what we think it can be. Jackson Arnold's got to be rewired, and like he's got to be right. It can't be maybe. He's got to be right, but he's talented enough that if he is, ooh.
You think we'll see some Deuce Knight on the field this year, at least in packages? Because I hear he's incredible for a freshman.
The only reason that I would say yes is that I do believe Hugh does certain things at times to satisfy individuals, and it would be based mostly around that. Like, okay, 21-0, we feel like we're in good shape, even if it's earlier in the game. Like, you get your series here. Or, like you said, like third, I don't even know if he's like some kind of short yardage Bo Prabula guy. I don't know. Everybody knows, but how many snaps have you seen him play in college?
Because yeah.
I'm going to tell you before you answered, zero. So I don't know what he can be or not be. Who knows? But, because of that and how he is known to do that, wouldn't surprise me. It's going to be a fun year, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be a really it's going to be a fun year.
I was telling Mike, I mean, when you say any given Saturday, it's I feel like this is the season.
Dude, home field advantage is going to be massive this year. Turnovers are going to be critical this year. Like, I think we're going to see some high-scoring games more than normal. Like,
yeah.
And then you'll get teams, like, that can take the air out of a game, like a Vanderbilt, or, like, I think Florida's going to be able to run the ball. Like, there's a couple dudes in this league that nobody knows about that y'all need to know about. Not you two, but, like, people in general.
Yeah.
Like, Deion Burks at Oklahoma. If I said that name, how many people would know who that is?
Wow.
Dude can freaking go.
Yeah.
If he's healthy, he's a problem. Jaden Ball? I'm just telling you now.
I know,
we might be next year, and we're talking about Jaden Ball. Like, how come nobody was talking about him?
Yeah.
6'1", 235, and has legit wiggle. Yeah. Like, guy can get it. Florida might be able to take the air out of a game now. Like, they might be able to just slow it down, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. And if that's the case, like, how many teams want to play that style game?
Yeah.
And you're high on Hardy, too, right, out of Missouri?
I love that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First off, we haven't mentioned them. They ought to be in that category, too. Mm-hmm. Because what if Bo Prabula is really good?
Yeah.
We don't know if he's good or not. I'm not going to say he's great, and I'm not going to say he's terrible. I'm going to tell you I have no idea. I've seen, like, the 7 plays he's played or whatever. Okay, good. He seems fine. He seems like he's got good skill. But what I do know is Caden Green's back, Connor Charleston's back, and they have, if you ask me right now, on 4th-and-1, you can have one tight end to put in the game to help you get that. It's Brett effing Norfleet at Missouri. That's the guy. He does not care. And so they got a dude that you know is going to help block. They run outside zone, which was what Hardy has been running at ULM. So he gets it. He knows it. And that is a feel. Go back to Tank Bigsby at Auburn. When Harsin got there and they started running stretch play, like, he would take the ball and run 100 miles an hour, like, at the tackle. You can't do that. Like, the play doesn't work that way. This kid knows how to do it. I mean, they bring in Nate Noel from App, and, like, he's a dynamo last year. But the part that nobody knows about, Kirby Moore. That guy is a badass. Like, Kirby Moore is legit. There's a bunch, like, Clayton White, Kirby Moore, Brad White. There's a lot of coordinators in this league that don't get all the buzz that are really, really good at their jobs. Kirby is exceptional. And if their receivers are just pretty good, they might be, because they have 3 D linemen that have played a ton of football. One transfer from Purdue, one transfer from Florida, one's been there. And you have a safety in Marvin Burks that has no regard for his body. Literally zero. Kid probably weighs maybe 200, and he will try to take you out on every play. Like, the right way. I'm not saying he's dirty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, does not care if the kid weighs 280 or 190. Like, he's going to try to blow you up. Like, that defense is still going to get after you. So, maybe it – because Missouri is in that cluster. Maybe it's Missouri. And maybe the schedule, like you said, is the reason. I don't know. But that's why it's going to be such a fun year, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a bunch of dudes that are, like, flying under the radar that nobody's talking about that this time next year going to be like, nobody mentioned Deion Burks. Nobody talked about Ahmad Hardy. And then all of a sudden they're really – and that goes back to what you said about it's so different. That we're not going to be able to put our finger on everything. We're not going to know everything about these teams. And then the crazier part about that is think about what it's going to be week 3 and what it's going to be week 9.
Yeah.
Because then you got an injury or two that changes everything.
Absolutely.
Who knows?
Where would you put Jade Knott in that conversation too?
Hammer.
Yeah.
Freaking hammer. I love Jade Knott. Now, he's not dynamic like some of the other guys we talked about, but like 3rd-and-2?
Yeah.
Or 4-minute drill, we need to run the game out? I'll take Jade Knott. I love that kid. Oklahoma is strictly offensive line. That's it. If they can block people on a regular basis and they're healthy up front, they should be really good. Because the tight end that we ain't got is solid. Mateer, mega playmaker. Obviously, his system, his coordinator, his scheme. Deion Burks can literally take over a game. You're fine at running back. And you got a D-line that can take over games. Like, you got a D-line that people should not be able to handle in this league, specifically with what we've talked about with the offensive lines just being a little bit behind and being a little questionable. That group should be able to take over games. And now Venables is coordinating again. And maybe situational football is something we have to be concerned about there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Only one you haven't mentioned is Arkansas. Anything positive to say about them?
Bobby and Talon, man. year two, don't think they're not going to scare people. And here's the other thing, too. I don't have it in front of me. Pull up Arkansas' schedule. Because there's a chance they're sitting there, I think, at 4-0 with Notre Dame coming to town. You want to be Notre Dame going to Fayetteville, Arkansas, with that team 4-0 and a quarterback that can take over a game? I don't want to be that. No, thank you. I don't know their receivers, what they're going to be. I know the linebackers are going to be really – Xavier Story can freaking fly. They got a good group of linebackers. Travis is a really good D coordinator. He's going to be a head coach for long. The offensive line and the receivers, is that going to be enough around Talen Green? I think Talen will take a step with Bobby. He'll make better decisions. At the end of the day, like, Bobby can call plays, man. Like, he's another one in this league, but people know who he is. But, like, he's not what he is because he used to be a head coach. He can freaking call plays. And so Talen Green's a playmaker, man. Like, he's going to be dangerous.
Do you like the offensive line? I mean, I felt like they took steps last year. Do you feel like there's a
– But it's not a lot of the same guys. So, I mean, I think they can be okay. It's hard to tell. Like, that's just – we just feel like it should be good because Sam's there, and it's like they're going to run the ball. I mean, Bobby wants to go downhill. So, the one back they got, the big kid, like, he ought to pound. Yeah. I mean, he ought to pound.
He could probably block. Yeah.
Yes, probably.
They have to win in Oxford week three. That's kind of their biggest.
Yeah. So that'll be the one if they get that one.
But that's been a fun series that kind of goes back and forth. Mm-hmm.
Fun for you.
That's true. But again, I think Ole Miss taking a step back. So that's I would still lean Ole Miss, but I think that's.
But it's not out of the question.
That's one
is what
Arkansas
you're
can get.
Yeah, and if Arkansas is ready to be, let's just say, like a back alley fist fight team, I don't think Ole Miss wants to play that style ball. Mm-mm. And if the D-line struggles a little bit and Arkansas all of a sudden finds a little north-south, hey, we just want to fight you, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like we said, if there are some teams that can legitimately take the air out of games this year, Vandy, if Arkansas turns into that, if Florida can do that, how big of a problem is that for some of the teams they're going to play? Mm-hmm. Because, like we talk about Oklahoma, none of these D-lines are unbelievable. None of them. Oklahoma's is close.
Yeah.
But, like, if we're talking, like, Georgia a couple of years ago, some of the LSU D-lines we've seen, some of the Bama D-lines. I mean, even go back to, like, State when they had Simmons and Sweat and those guys. Like, none of these groups are – like, this is not Derrick Brown, Marlon Davidson, Auburn D-line.
Yeah.
None of them have that. So, if you can take the air out of the game, run the ball, control the game, and then all of some of these other headaches we're talking about and teams – and, like, no one's really that good, that's going to be a huge advantage for that team.
Yeah.
And then we got to start talking about nerdy stuff like special teams.
It's like, we're not going to say punter this time.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Who's your favorite punter this year?
I don't know. I don't know any of them. The guy from Australia.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
I think it's a good place to end it, don't you?
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't beat that.